So I put together a slideshow, which Brother Livingstone can share with anybody who wants, along with the one last night also. And it's a bunch of practical, objective, what do I call them? Tips for surviving promotion. But the Lord was just nudging me in kind of a complimentary direction this morning, which I may hopefully follow my spirit on here. the slideshow is pretty obvious, and I'll talk about a couple of things. I must say I always enjoy following Brother Marty's sharing. And your sharing tends to quicken my spirit, brother. So I can, one thing I can do is I can start off the same way. It's about 52 years ago when I received the Lord. I was a college student, although I was a graduate student at that time. And of course, that has just had a huge influence on my living ever since then, more than half a century now. And I think we could always all have very much the same sort of testimony. We very much owe who we are, what we've experienced, what we've become to our experience of the Lord in a very practical way. And we just started a new semester, of course, and at the University of Texas, we were having the first meeting with the students in the Christian Students on Campus organization. And we were having a meeting on the Lord's Day morning. Probably Brother Crossville was there. There were, like, I think the brothers counted 280 students there. And to me, it was really inspiring. There's maybe 100 or so of them were freshmen. It's just really, really good. And so there was some sharing, and then I've been the advisor of the club for 45 years or so. And so the brothers wanted all these new freshmen to see there was a faculty member who's been around a long time, who kind of shepherds this group, and it was well established and so forth. And so I got up to share a little bit, and the Lord just led me to share that seeing all these students, particularly so many freshmen, really was inspiring to me. And it made me think back to consider when I was at their same point. And it was nearly 60 years ago when I was a freshman. So I got a few years on you, brother. And I considered if at that juncture somebody had given me the assignment to write my autobiography of what would have happened by the time I am right now, probably it would have been about 10% accurate, because so much unfolded in my life that I just never could have in the faintest realm imagined. And so much of that occurred in conjunction with my having received the Lord 52 years ago. Students try and plan out their lives all the time, and that's a useful exercise, but it's kind of futile. Young faculty, the same thing too. I used to meet with our faculty every year, every faculty member. We'd have a sit down, and I wanted their 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year plan for what they were going to do. That's a useful thing to go through. But things just go in directions that you cannot imagine. And being one spirit with the Lord. You just had a wonderful conference on that, mingled spirit. It's such a huge advantage. That has just been my foundation, I would say, as I have lived as a professor. And I was appreciating the, if you can imagine, virtually 5 Olympic circles here. How could I have imagined that I would become an advanced Olympian in the church life? Oh my. And so I already fulfill the F circle faculty. And I was considering exactly 1 week from now in my home, okay, there's going to be a lot of speaking going on following much preparatory prayer, okay? And one of the O brothers in Austin is going to bring a dozen or so students and full-timers to my home in the country. And there also will be some community saints there, one of whom is my wife. But my wife was taking care of our community saints meeting last night on her own. Oh, Lord Jesus. So one thing that she did was to recruit some community saints to join in when all the 5 circles get joined together in a week, and we're going to have, we'll feed them, and then in the afternoon is just going to be fellowship. But living life, our bios, suke, and zoe, all integrated into one experience. Okay, and the students are so eager to hear about the experience of more older saints. Anyway, so being Olympian is just a great experience. And to be linked together with all these saints. And that's something that I just could not have experienced. And it's so precious to be in this sort of a situation. So, to follow on, we have to take care of our jobs as faculty members, and if you're in a tenure track line, that's important. You got some great advice on how to do that, and I really don't have that much more to add. But in the context of participating in the in what should we call it, the Church Life Olympics, okay, one of the real responsibilities that we have as faculty members is to teach students. And we teach our students in a lot of ways. I used to think teaching students involved preparing a lecture. Here, I brought my, I got my files for my classes in my briefcase here. And for decades, I would prepare lectures. I teach engineering, and I could write equations from one, well, maybe not quite that far, but I could fill this board up multiple times in any class period with equations, and the students sit there and they diligently write things down. And eventually, I had the very good fortune to have a big grant with some of the leading cognitive scientists in the United States, who really taught me how to be a teacher. In fact, based on that, I was asked to, and now I teach a course for senior level PhD students who want to become faculty members. As a PhD student, we train y'all, there's a bunch of students here, how to become researchers. And then you want to get a faculty job, and you get hired, and you report for work the first day, and they say, okay, go teach course X. And we give students essentially no structural preparation on how to be a teacher. Okay? You're smart, you can do research, therefore, by definition, you can teach, and we just turn you loose on the poor students. And then, and as senior faculty, we have to go around and observe the teaching of the junior faculty every semester and write a report, and that goes into your tenure and promotion file and so forth. And these young people, they just really struggle with how to effectively be a teacher. And so one of my teaching assignments now is I teach a course on how to be a college teacher. Now, I don't teach the spiritual side, but there's a lot that goes into it that's way beyond being a person with advanced experience in your field and being able to download all this information onto these poor students who try and harvest enough of it so they can remember to get a passing grade on the test, and then they forget most of it after that. So these cognitive science really changed up my teaching. I can share a very useful book that I use in teaching this course. It's called Understanding by Design. The authors are Wiggins and McTighe. And this is book presents a philosophy on educational design, in which the objective is to equip the students to really understand at a fundamental level what the course material is, as opposed to memorizing knowledge. And so the idea is that you design a learning environment in which the students gain understanding, which goes way beyond the accumulation of knowledge. When I go to Anaheim, we stay in a hotel in Fullerton, right across from the college there, in which they have wisdom sayings. And one of them is by Einstein, which is, if I recall, is something to the effect that learning is not the accumulation of facts, but it is training people to think. Okay? And that's what you do with understanding. This is gaining the big picture, so you don't have to exercise your memory in order to do something. It just becomes second nature to you. Anyway, so the point is, I've dramatically changed how I teach and the way I relate to students. A book that has been, this is something that you always want to remember as a faculty member. Keep first things first. Know what your first things are, okay? And your first things are, on the left, we got the Lord. On the right, we got your very most intimate personal support system. Okay? Some of you met my wife. Okay? So if you're going to be successful, this absolutely is your starting point. You never, ever get away from it. Period. No matter what the other pressures are. Now, let's see if I can get through some things quickly. quickly. So here is the motto. We're busy to the uttermost. And you want to be in a situation where you know who you are, where you're headed, and there is a continuous onslaught of things to do that are somebody else's priority that absolutely, in my case, are very often not my own priority. So take care of the important stuff. Sprint like an Olympian away from everything else that is not clearly what you need to be paying attention to. And just say no. Yes. So just say no politely, but with conviction. And I practice this all the time. I've been, I've said no to a lot of things. No need for more examples. Okay, now, everybody knows you need to have creative output in order to get tenure. But you want to be a good teacher. And really, as a faculty member, teaching doesn't carry the weight that it should. Okay? Universities have evolved in such a way that we really pay a lot of attention to reputation. And there's the annual rankings just came out about a week or so ago, I saw, and immediately everybody is talking about them. You know, where do we rank and so forth. And that's based largely on research, and faculty are rewarded largely on the reputation you generate personally and on behalf of your institution. But we have to teach also, because universities are in place for education. But as a Christian, I have become, over many, many years now, more and more convicted that I need to do a more effective job of taking care of the students in a holistic sort of a way. And so learning the students' names and praying regularly for students is just, I would say, absolutely critical. I see Carolyn agreeing strongly. So here's my course folder. And we're some weeks into the semester, and one might expect to see reams and reams of lecture notes. Not so. Well, I'm an old guy, so I know the material inside out, upside down, and every other way. So any given class, I just have some thoughts that I want to talk to the students with. But right on the inside of the folder, I've got my prayer list. And I carry this with me. And I have identical copies for every class under the glass on my desk in my office at home. And so I start the morning in the Word with the Lord, and I really, really try and make it a habit to pray for every one of these students individually. For me, that is an important part of teaching. Okay? And I don't, this is my Science in the Bible course, and so we talk about the Lord and the Word very openly, overtly, all the time. We read footnotes every day and so forth. So that's pretty straightforward. But my secular courses, you might call them that, my engineering courses, I pray for those students too. It's a bigger class. There's more pictures, but that doesn't mean I don't pray for them. In fact, I can pull this one out too. This is a thicker folder, but I got some homeworks in here I have to grade on the flight on the way back. But here's my prayer list for this class. It's not huge. Sometimes I may have 130 or 40 students. So it becomes less personal. But the students know if I have been laboring on them individually. And opportunities come along to interact with them. And if the students feel comfortable, if the students feel confident in the way that they just humanly perceive that they are being looked after with their best interest, they're going to be open. And it is remarkable what comes up. Last time I taught this engineering course, perhaps the outstanding student in the class came up to me at the end of a lecture, and we've been covering, you know, who knows what, but it was in engineering. And he said, "Professor, I understand you're a Christian. I have been very successful here in my personal life, academically, extracurricular activities, but I just feel an emptiness, and I'd like to know what it is to be a Christian." Voila. And so I've had really good interactions with that guy over the last year. He's applying to medical school. Guess who he asked to write his letter? He feels like I know him and care about him, and I have shared some very personal things with him. Okay? And so this is part of teaching the students in my book. Okay? The learning scientist, I'm keeping my eye on the clock here, Brother Livingstone. Learning scientists say really one of the best ways to teach is to model for the students what you want them to become, okay? As opposed to writing down onto the board what you want them to memorize. And so I believe that's accurate, and I really try and practice that, to model in class what I want them to become. And in so doing, that involves effective communication. Now, 4 years ago, at the National College Training in Urbana-Champaign, the brothers asked me to share about my course as a TED Talk. And I said, "What is a TED Talk? I mean, I am your prototypical clueless engineer." And so maybe it was Minoru or somebody told me, "Well, get this book and read it." Talk like TED. So for many, many years, I would take students on a study abroad to the University of Cambridge and for 5 weeks and teach one of my courses, engineering courses, to them in residence there. So I got this book before I went, and that year my son and his family, his wife and three kids, they all came with me, and we crammed into the little apartment that I had in the college where I'm a fellow over there in Cambridge. And so I had good family time with the next generations down. I was teaching a course, and I had this book to read, and as I began to read this book, I realized, yeah, this is not, so to speak, rocket science or neuroscience or whatever you want to call it. It's just very practical. How to communicate with people. The 9 public speaking secrets of the world's top minds. Well, professors, we are public speakers. And the more I read this, the more I realized this is what I need to be like in class. And so My daughter-in-law was there, Hannah Becker from the Boston Becker family. And she is brilliant. She is definitely smarter than I am. And she spends huge time with my grandchildren. And she uses TED Talks a lot. And so she coached me through this book while we were living together in Cambridge. And it was great. And I have absolutely changed the way I teach. And the response of the students is just over the top. Course evaluation numbers are up at the top. Don't want to brag, but they are significantly improved. And the comments that I get are just super. And so when I teach this course for PhD students who are going to become professors, this is one of the books we use. And the feedback I get from PhD engineers who are getting ready to become professors is, this is the best book I've read as a college student. There's not a single equation in it. But as far as being useful in practicing life, it doesn't talk about exercising our spirit or anything. But as we exercise our spirit, it can be manifested out how we communicate. What was the middle word that Brother Marty used? Speak. Okay? And this is speaking secrets. And so, again, if you're going to become a professor and get promoted, being a good teacher won't get you promoted. Being a bad teacher will keep you from being promoted. Absolutely. And so, that's on my list. Now, the clock says there's a few minutes left. I think I should stop. There's a bunch more slides. Rather than just go through the slides, does anybody want to bring anything up?
So how did you actually apply it when you began to use it? So you stepped into the classroom that first day after you had read the book, and you began to consider how to apply it, or you prepped in a different way.
No, preparation wasn't totally different. So I can tell two things. Some of the principles are you need to be passionate about whatever you're teaching. Don't be a robot up there. Okay? And the way to capture students or your audience is to tell stories. I always like to tell some stories. That's what I'm doing right now. Okay? And I realize that's not a negative thing. I'm not taking away from the students' learning by telling stories. I'm enhancing it. I don't want to be irresponsible about it, but telling some good stories really drives home points. And when I ask students a year after they've taken a course, I will sometimes say, "What do you remember from the course?" They'll say, "Well, I remember a bunch of hard equations, and I don't know any of them, but we got the book, so we can look them up. What I remember are your stories, which really put substance onto why we're learning the equations and what you do with them." Okay? So there's no more added preparation whatsoever. However, the Understanding by Design book, that absolutely changed the way I prepare. And I had what you could call an epiphany or a divine inspiration when I was caught at O'Hare Airport about 15 years ago when I was just starting to learn about this. Basically, Understanding by Design is a very organized context for developing inquiry learning materials. Rather than teaching according to the taxonomy of knowledge that is to be delivered, you teach in the context of what the real world applications are. And you get you structure the course with a whole series of real-world applications that require the students to progressively go through and learn the taxonomy of knowledge in a context that is meaningful to them, okay, rather than a bunch of stuff they have to memorize. And so I had been a meeting at Northwestern, and this was part of our research group working on this curriculum design problem, and I got to O'Hare, and guess what? A snowstorm came through, and I got stuck there for, I don't know, 6 or 8 hours. And I had my laptop with me, and I remember sitting there, okay, Lord, here I am stuck in O'Hare yet again. What am I going to do? And I realized it's just when our biomedical engineering department was getting started, and I had to create a new course. So I'm going to try this. And so I had some experience in applying the material of the course. And so I built me a matrix. Along the vertical axis, I basically put down the knowledge taxonomy in an organized way. Eventually, I've written a textbook on the course. Along the other axis, I put in experiences I've had. Consulting jobs, projects in my lab, things I was very familiar with that were societally meaningful to students. And so I just started filling in the matrix. Yeah, what experience is going to teach them the most fundamental knowledge they need? And I put that in, and the most fundamental knowledge gets checks the whole way through, and so they really get reinforced in a meaningful way their learning. And as I have new topics to introduce, I put in more inquiry problems. And so the students work in teams. I introduce a problem to them. They work in class to see what they know about how to solve it. And eventually I said, realize you're going to have serious homework on this stuff. And so you can take some time to organize your thinking about it. And then you can ask me anything you want to about this problem. And it's going to be related to doing your homework. So the more insight that you can get about how to do your problem, the more help you're going to get directly to solve your homework. And so when this works well, which it does a lot of the times, they will ask me to teach them the materials that I would have been wanting to teach them anyway in the most mind-numbingly boring context that you can imagine. Okay, here's all these equations. Learn them because they're important and you may need them someday. Okay? Okay, so that's kind of the answer to your question. Okay, and my time is genuinely up now, I think, Livingston. I'm standing between y'all and food.
So praise the Lord. The Lord give us very meaningful and very good fellowship. So this afternoon, we'll continue the fellowship at 4. So during this period of time, you can either stay in the meeting hall to take a rest. We will open the meeting hall and air condition here, or you can go back to your hospitality to take some rest. Anyway, we'll get it together here at 4. So now the lunch is ready, so we can go out to lunch and have more fellowship. Amen.